This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you ever heard the phrase, holding on to the tiger by the ears? Or I've actually heard it a different way, holding on to a wolf by the ears. You ever heard that phrase? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. The obvious explanation for it is you're in a very dangerous situation, okay? Because you got a tiger in front of you and you're holding him by the ears. But obviously you only have so much strength. You can only hold on to his ears for so long. Do you let him go? If you let him go, he's going to eat you. At some point, you're in a dangerous situation, but at the same time, you have no choice but to hold on to the tiger by the ears. In a lot of ways, communists do this. They get themselves trapped. They get themselves trapped because their evil nature is horrific, and they can't lie about everything forever. You can lie about everything for a while. You can fool, what's that saying? You can fool all the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. I don't know if that's the saying, but it's very close to it. If you're a communist, you believe in control because you're fighting a revolution and trying to destroy everything. So you can't lead with that. You have to lie. Lies are built in. We talk about that. Lie, 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 lie. And that will work for a time. On some people, it'll work all the time. The Democrat in your life, they believe all of them. But eventually, people wake up. For instance, remember when Joe Biden took a little tumble on the stage? Embarrassing. I get it. Embarrassing. Terrible. It was an embarrassing moment. I got it. You got it. But here's the thing. In the immediate aftermath of that, his staff started to get concerned, you see. Started to get concerned because they talk with him every single day. They walk with him every single day. And they knew before he tumbled on stage that he was not a functional adult, that he was not able to walk and talk. They knew. And so what did they do? Well, here's what they did.
And just to make sure we clear the record here, he tripped over a sandbag on the stage, and briefly he tripped and got up, and he got right back up and continued what he was there to do. He did not. There was no need for the doctor to see him as it was related to the fall.
America is a country that loves youth and vitality, you know, which is why we have laws against age discrimination, because we tend to favor youthfulness and the new thing. In a lot of countries, people who've been in office a longer period of time are praised for their wisdom. And I think that Joe Biden rightly says that he has grown very wise in his many decades in public office.
Look, I'm more than 2 years older than President, and I do just fine. I don't want to have a fall, but if I do, I hope I get up as good as he did.
Yeah, people fall down. I believe he tripped. But, you know, I'm just...
Didn't he reply something like I was sandbagged?
Yeah, it was a sandbag that he tripped on. Yeah. But what is this obsession? People are just... I mean, I've known old people all my life. And I've never seen this kind of obsession with, you know, people being old and... What the hell? What the hell? Because everybody's getting there. So, yeah.
He's just wiser than ever. Why are you mad that he's... They lie. They did what they do. It's built into communists. They lie about everything at all times. They lied. Well, that works for a while until it doesn't. Remember? Do you remember? I remember how quickly the polls started to show that the American people were getting concerned about Joe Biden's age. poll after poll after poll after poll would come out, and it kept getting worse and worse and worse. The communists could lie for a while. Lied to get him elected. Lied for the first year. Eventually, got to let go of the tiger's ears. Dome's actually a great example. The communists, because she's black and a woman, have done the best they can to prop her up as being a good candidate. It's how she was able to rise. Well, it's part of how she was able to rise through the ranks in California politics, from one position to the next position to the next position. This is a woman who can't even talk. Why? Because the communists were lying at all times. She's Kamala Harris. She's a genius. She's brilliant. She's wonderful. She's this. She's that. But that was all a lie. Eventually, she rose to be vice president of the United States of America, which was obviously a diversity hire. Joe Biden announced it. I'm only going to pick a black woman. He picked her, elevated her, and then when he dropped out, handpicked her to be the nominee. But it was, again, all a lie, all smoke and mirrors. She was a terrible candidate. Donald Trump stomped her after they handed her $2 billion to run, and a new Emerson poll came out, not a national poll, a Democrat primary poll, and Dome, the former vice president, the former Democrat nominee for president of the United States of America, is in third place. That brings me to a prediction I brought up on this show multiple times, but allow me to bring it up again. Everyone thinks Kamala Harris is going to run for president in 2028. And she may, don't get me wrong, she may, but I say she won't. She has already announced she's not going to run for governor. We all assumed that that meant she was going to run for president, but Dome has one more shot. One more shot to be the nominee. If she's already polling in third behind Newsom in the rear admiral, I say she sits it out. She's not old, 60. Politics, that's not old at all. Wait 4 years, wait 8 years, hang around, maybe read a book and try for it one more time. I say she sits it out. And speaking of Dome, actually, there's a story. It's going to sound small, but this story about Dome and J.D. Vance's kids is actually... It's a pretty good example of why the Democrat Party is currently on the outs in America. And you see, here's what it is. I've explained this to you before, men and women, but I'm mainly talking to women, especially young women. Everyone hates a feminist. Maybe you're flirting with feminism. Maybe the musician you love promotes it. Maybe your friends talk about it all the time. Yeah, you go, girl. You can do anything a man can do. Okay, I'm not here to talk you out of that ridiculousness. That's not actually what I'm here to say. I am here to tell you that everyone will hate you, everybody. Even other feminists hate being around feminists because they're bitter and they're nasty and they're nags and they're petty. And nobody in the history of mankind has ever sat down and said, wow, I wish I could hang out with a feminist today. If you choose that route, that I am woman, hear me roar route, everyone will hate your guts. You turn into a nasty human being. Listen to this story. This is why everyone hates Democrats now. Listen to this.
So when you moved into the vice president's residence, had you seen it before?
No, I'd never seen it before. And there was a bit of a controversy. I don't remember exactly what had happened, but I think that normally it's customary for the outgoing vice president to show the incoming vice president's family the house. Mm-hmm. And we have three little kids. So I guess at the time our kids were like 7, 5 and, you know, two, I guess Mirabelle turned 3 right before the inauguration. And so, you know, now they're a little bit older, but, you know, they had never seen this house, and Usha really wanted to show them. So what we actually proposed is, recognizing the weirdness of the politics, can Usha take the kids over and just show them where they're going to be living for the next 4 years? And they were rebuffed.
She said, no. No, your kids can't come over. It sounds small, but that petty, vindictive, nasty feminist attitude is exactly why Democrats are losing younger generations, not just younger men. Young women don't want to be hateful and miserable and hated by everybody. Young men especially hate, they have a natural disdain for this kind of nasty pettiness. Honestly, and it goes beyond just personal things with people's kids. The Teamsters Union has traditionally been about as reliable a Democrat vote as there is in the United States of America. But not when the feminist walks in the room.
We had a general executive board meeting probably around June of 2024. And there was an event that one of our vice presidents, Joan Corey, she's out of my local. She went to, I don't know if it was an Emily's List event, the day before our general executive board, and Vice President Harris was there. And so they do a photo op line. So Joan goes in the line and Joan says, "I'm Joan Corey, I'm a vice president with the Teamsters Union." And she pointed her finger at Joan and said, "Teamsters better get on board." And so Joan says, "Excuse me? Yeah, Teamsters better get on board. I don't know why you haven't endorsed me yet." So she comes back and she tells me this. And I'm like, the nerve, like the nerve. Her closing was, "Listen, I'm going to win with you or without you." And it was like such a smug answer, like, okay. And that turned the majority of the people in that room off.
Turns people off. Young ladies, I know you may be mad at me right now. The path to being hated by everyone in your life is to embrace feminism. You'll become a bitter, nasty hag who everyone hates. And so, look, they've gone that route, or they try to butch up. You know, they've lost Middle America. They've lost the Teamsters Union. They've lost construction guys. They've lost the blue collar. The Democrat Party has become the urban elite party, and you can't win elections like that. So how do you win back the blue collar guys? Well, you can roll Tim Walz out there like they did during the campaign trail, watch him struggle to load a shotgun. Or you can do this cursing thing they all do now.
We are in a basketball game right now, if you'll excuse the metaphor, where the refs have left the arena. And the other side is just clobbering the shit out of us, just punching us in the face, kicking us in the and we're kind of throwing our hands up and we're asking the crowd, the people of America, "Hey, do you see what's going on here? This is unfair. This isn't the rules that we agreed to play by." Well, who cares about the fucking rules right now? Punch back, kick back, dunk over their heads, and win some fucking power.
F this and F that and F this. It sounds like a rated R movie now. This is all very forced. This is all about trying to be relatable to blue collar guy. Instead of just, you know, not being terrible to everybody, they just say the F word. We'll see how it works out for them. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love sleeping. And that's actually not true. I love waking. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you've ever had a bad night's sleep, it's not necessarily the night that's as miserable as the wake up, and immediately you know your day's going to suck. You know it's going to be horrible. You're going to be in a bad mood. Your eyes are going to be scratchy. It's horrible. But when you had that great night's sleep and your eyes flutter open and you know, oh, that was good sleep. I'm going to be in a good mood. I'm going to be great at work. I'm going to be great at school. Life is better, isn't it? That's what Beam is all about. Natural sleep. You see, I know there are a bunch of things you can take to help you sleep. They're all terrible for you. That's why you wake up feeling groggy. Beam is natural. It's got a bunch of natural things in it, like reishi. But it's a cup of delicious hot chocolate. You go to sleep, you wake up feeling great every single day. Go try a bag. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. Okay, it's time for Daddy Jesse to step in and have a frank conversation with you before I bring Susan in here. Gavin Newsom, I know this is not exactly breaking news, but that guy is going to run for president in 2028. He's one of these people that's just ambitions just dripping out of him and that greased up head of his. He's a horrific human being who has destroyed maybe my favorite state. I just adore California. I know everybody dumps on it, but California's paradise. He has a new podcast out where he's routinely inviting people on the right onto his show, and they keep accepting these invitations when he's obviously trying to moderate himself and appear to be the very reasonable guy instead of the complete scumbag that he actually is. This is all very transparent, and anyone with an IQ above a gerbil can see it, but apparently I had to come on here and say it. Joining me now, Susan Crabtree, author of the book Fool's Gold, California Dream, and Now Threaten Us All. Okay, Susan, first of all, let's discuss Gavin Newsom. For some reason, people buy into this garbage sometimes, and it drives me crazy.
It absolutely drives me crazy. Absolutely drives me crazy too. Everything about Gavin Newsom is performative. It's not performance-based. From his college admission that he lied about, it was based on his baseball prowess, to the launch of his wine business with Getty Oil money, even though he cries climate change every time he gets a chance, to his political rise that was bolstered by Willie Brown and his dad's ties to him. All were handed to him on a silver platter. So that's why he thinks he can run for president via podcast while his state's just in shambles. And we go into this in the book. We talk about, you know, his CCP ties, how he let all these prisoners out under false pretenses during COVID, thousands. Basically, he is directly responsible for all of the state's failures, and they've only accelerated during his time in office.
Susan, how did he get there? California, yeah, it's blue and you have to be a Democrat, but there are many Democrats who run for these seats and tear each other apart trying to rise to be governor of the most powerful state in the union. Said, how did this sleazeball get there?
He was anointed. He was anointed by Willie Brown and the power class in San Francisco. That's where all of the state's top leaders come from. Nancy Pelosi was his aunt, and his dad actually helped William Newsom, helped Pat Brown, so Jerry Brown's father. They're very tight in with the Browns from their time at St. Ignatius High School. It's a private Jesuit school in San Francisco. All the connections stem from there, and then the moneyed class and some bloodlines too. So it's really, you know, that's, they just basically took turns. He actually tried to challenge Jerry Brown at one point and got smacked down by the power class there, and he waited his time, bided his time as lieutenant governor until he was allowed to, you know, run for mayor first to San Francisco, then he became lieutenant governor, then he became governor, and it's an anointment in California.
Susan, how did he do what he did to California so quickly? It's not easy to wreck a state that's that powerful, but I'll tell you, I have to go back there once a year or so for various business things. You can see it gets worse every time. It's just slowly going down and down and down. What did he do?
So a native Californian, and I went to Washington, D.C. after college. I spent 23 years in D.C. I came back in 2017, and that was right when he was coming into power in 2018. The state had its problems, certainly, under Jerry Brown. He was soft on crime. Certainly, the crime spree was happening already, starting, brewing there, and the homelessness was a problem. But it all accelerated because Gavin Newsom, like I said, he does not earn what he gets. He is not used to having to perform. So he just, you know, pretends. And he even talks about this during his Charlie Kirk podcast, where he talks about it, the mask you live in, and then you have this mask on that somebody puts on you, and then you fill in the mask to live up to their expectations. It's kind of a creepy concept if you really examine it, and it's actually the name of one of his wife's gender justice documentary, so it's not like he came up with that all by himself. It accelerated during COVID. He he wrote a book about trying to make, and when he was lieutenant governor, because he was bored, he talks about how bored he was as lieutenant governor for 8 years, that said he was promising to make government more transparent and get it digitized, but it all fell apart when he became governor, and they couldn't even get the unemployment payments out the door, and there was so much fraud. It was $30 billion in fraud, the biggest, largest amount of fraud in the state's history, all under his watch. And there were people, he locked down the state. He was pushing people out of work, except for, of course, Hollywood carve-outs. But he couldn't even get those people that he was pushing out of work the unemployment checks they deserved. I mean, this is just one of the many things we go into. You know, we really examine, because I work with Peter Schweitzer's group, the top research director is my co-author, Jed McFadder, and we delve into his ties to the CCP in China. And it's really startling what he did with that, and why he did that was to get his own wine trademarked and pushed into China. And it was a personal self-dealing. Gavin Newsom knows no bounds, because the California media do not hold him into account. We couldn't fit all of the corruption and self-dealing and bad policies into one book. It was hard to fit it all because we found so many things that hadn't been reported yet in the California media.
Did he fund a bronze statue of himself? Because I've thought about doing that for me.
Don't we all want a bronze statue of ourselves somewhere, a monument to me? Basically, if somebody else makes a bronze statue of you or carves you into Mount Rushmore, you know, that's an honorable situation. But if you pay for it yourself is what we found. So there he has a bronze statue of himself in San Francisco City Hall. They scrubbed all the pictures after it came out last week because we uncovered it in the book. And he paid for it. We found that he paid for it with two of his own companies, partially. One was his Plump Jack Winery, and then another was a restaurant that he owned. And it was all in the form of behested payments. And behested payments in California is like a pay-to-play scheme. Politicians are allowed to
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States. Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah. America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Direct charitable corporations to give to their pet charity of choice. And in this case, Gavin Newsom directed his own companies to give to his pet charity, which was the paying for the monument to himself.
Susan, thank you so much. Come back soon. That was wonderful. I love my cell phone company. I had to get a new phone recently because, you know, I have Pure Talk. And my phone was old. My phone charging port wasn't charging anymore. So I get a hold of Pure Talk because I didn't want a new phone. And it's still, I knew this about Pure Talk. I talk to you about it every day, but they speak English. They don't farm out those jobs to a call center in India where you're trying to understand them. They're trying to understand you. Let me get the manager. No more of that. No more of that. Pure Talk is the American mobile company. Their CEO is a veteran, fought for this country, 2 tours in Vietnam. They give back to veterans. They don't give to Black Lives Matter. Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, they give to every garbage communist cause out there. Pure Talk never does that. They save me money, and when you need to talk to them, they speak English. Switch. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. Make the switch.
I
My message to Los Angeles is we are a city of immigrants. We take pride in the diversity in our city, and it is my job as the mayor of Los Angeles to protect all Angelenos, regardless of when they got here, why they came, or where they came from. I think that the idea that what is going on here is chaos and we need federal intervention is just not accurate. It doesn't paint an accurate picture of what's going on here at all. And really, what is going to help would be an end to the raids, for a city not to know when, where, how, or why raids take place. You can imagine that the entire population of immigrants is very unsettling. And that the real thing that's happening here are the egregious ICE raids.
Okay. Karen Bass, Los Angeles. California itself. California is beautiful. I freaking love it. It is paradise if you've ever spent time there. And it is evidence that communists really can destroy anything they touch. They really can. Joining me now, Christopher Moritz knows a lot more about that than I do because he wrote the book on it called Failed State, about how you wreck a place as beautiful and wonderful as California. Okay, Chris, Karen Bass, what's this lady's background?
She's a Maoist. I mean, I don't know how else to describe her. She spent her youth in the 1970s involved with organizations in San Francisco that were explicitly Maoist. She was involved in another organization, the name of which escapes me, but was in the same vein, Fellow Travelers. She made at least 7 or 8 visits to Cuba, even during a period in which there was a prohibition on travel to the island. She has praised Castro. She's a community organizer, right? She is feckless. She is stupid. She is ideological. She's very much cut from the same cloth of many big city blue mayors that we see across the country. She's kind of a more visually acceptable version of Lori Lightfoot.
Can you explain how she rose to Los Angeles mayor? Because that is a big boy position of political power. She sounds like just a former street animal. How in the world did she rise to that position?
Oh, Barack Obama. Barack Obama strongly supported her in the primary, and essentially in California, of course, the primary is the only election that matters, the Democratic part, Democrat primary. So to be successful in that, you really need some sort of institutional backing. In her case, it was Obama.
Oh, great. Okay, Gavin Newsom wants to be president really, really, really bad. Here he was trying to be the tough guy.
Tom Holman, the border czar, said to me yesterday he did not rule out literally arresting you,
yep,
nor Mayor Bass,
yep,
if you interfere in his words. He said you hadn't yet.
He's a tough guy. Why doesn't he do that? He knows where to find me. But you know what? Lay your hands off 4-year-old girls that are trying to get educated. Lay your hands off these poor people who are just trying to live their lives, man. Trying to live their lives, paying their taxes, been here 10 years. The fear, the horror, the hell is this guy? Come after me, arrest me. Let's just get it over with. Tough guy. You know, I don't give a damn. But I care about my community. I care about this community. The hell are they doing? These guys need to grow up. They need to stop. And we need to push back. And I'm sorry to be so clear, but that kind of bloviating is exhausting. So, Tom, arrest me. Let's go.
He really wants to be arrested, doesn't he, Chris?
Oh, of course. That's all he wants. By the way, we should sort of differentiate Bass from Newsom. Newsom is not a communist. Newsom is certainly not a Maoist. Newsom is not a radical. Newsom is not a revolutionary. Newsom is a product that was created by certain special interests, particularly some families that had backed his entire career and brought him into San Francisco social life and up the ladder and failing upwards, as happens in California. Newsom is a pure reactive individual. He does not really have agency. He responds to events and very, very adeptly, I should say. Like, he's a very good actor. And he is, you know, in that sense, a completely cynical, opportunistic figure. When he says, arrest me, like, it's kind of funny, I think, because it's just so obviously campy in a way. And he is campy. But he wants to get arrested because he saw that when Donald Trump had that mugshot, it's sort of the thing that will live in infamy. And have you noticed that a bunch of other Democrats in recent weeks are now trying to get themselves arrested? Like this Senator Padilla, who's a joke, who's always been a joke. I mean, he really is, let's say, like, cognitively challenged. He's well known to be such, and a lackey in California. I actually didn't know he was our senator, to be honest. Like, I mean, in California, you kind of become like numb to like, yeah, the progressives are ruining everything, but, you know, at least let's go like have a cocktail or something. It's beyond a point of like caring because we're so oppressed. And so Padilla, like, I found out he got named, I guess it was Kamala Harris's seat. But, you know, it doesn't matter because in California, it really does not matter how qualified or unqualified or intelligent or that you are. And Kamala Harris is a perfect example of that. Padilla is the next evolution in that, really a really dumb guy. But he did this whole big thing. I'm going to take on Kristi Noem and got tackled. This is what he wants. This is what they all wanted. And in New York now that's happening, the New York mayoral candidates are trying to get themselves arrested with these, like, shots of them all red-faced and being held back. I mean, come on. Like, just stop. Just stop the please.
Chris, I have to ask. You said Newsom is controlled, created by families, certain families. Mm-hmm. What families?
The Gettys. The Gettys have controlled his political career, his career beyond politics even, his entire life. And this is a relationship that goes back two generations to Gavin Newsom's grandfather, who was involved in city politics in San Francisco and became deeply enmeshed with the Brown family. All of them became sort of tied closely to the Getty family through philanthropy, through prep schools, all really centering around the neighborhood of Pacific Heights, San Francisco. And there's intermarriage, you know, and it's like it truly is almost like I mean, it's maybe this is a stretch of an example, but it's sort of like the late Roman Republic, where the Senate class was all married in with other senators, and there was a kind of perpetuation of their power through consolidation of personal relationships. So Gavin Newsom, his career began when he started a vineyard and restaurant in Napa called Plump Jack's. This was financed by the Getty family. It was really only successful because of the Getty family. When he entered San Francisco social life and then San Francisco politics, that was also facilitated by his patrons in the Getty family, and they have kind of invested in him continuously through today, and I'm sure have a vested interest in him becoming president. So Gavin Newsom, you should think of as kind of a product, an experiment created in a lab by oligarchic interests in San Francisco.
That's a great image. He's basically a drone. He's a humanoid controlled by someone else. That's wonderful. Chris, Thank you, brother. Come back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States. Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah. America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Know what I had for breakfast this morning? Actually got the idea from my kid. Came out, he had gotten some extra crunchy peanut butter, and he was putting it on a banana. It's a great snack. So I'm putting it on a banana, but I did, after I'm done with my peanut butter and banana, I did the same thing I do when I'm having breakfast tacos, when I'm having sausage McMuffins, biscuits and gravy. There's one thing that goes with my breakfast every single day, and that's a Male Vitality stack from Chalk. Walked over to the pantry, got my stack, took my stack. Over 3 years, I have never taken a single thing in my life for more than a couple months. I've taken a Male Vitality stack from Chalk for over 3 years because I feel so good. My energy, my mood. You want a 20% increase in your testosterone level. You want your mood to be better. You want to sleep better. You want to feel better. Join me and have what I have for breakfast. Not the banana. Well, I guess you can have that too. Chalk.com/JesseTV.
What about for your values? I mean, is 8 years old too young?
Yeah, I mean, look, I now that I have a 9-year-old, just became 9. Come on, man, I get it. So those are legit. You know, it's interesting, just the issue of age. As someone that's been so focused on equality, broadly LGBT rights, particularly gay marriage, The trans issue for me is also novel. It's over the last few years, I'm trying to understand as much as anyone else, whole pronoun thing, trying to understand all of that. Well, you know, that was like the hell, I mean, all that stuff. I get it. All this stuff started to collapse on us. I joked with Charlie about Latinx, you know.
It's like he was created in a lab to be a politician. What did he just say there? I mean, he's one of the best at that I've ever seen. Hey, man, I get it. You know, I understand. I'm 9-year-old LGBT. I don't even know. Does that work? I guess it does work. He's governor of California. Joining me now, Jennifer Gilardi, knows a little something about California and that slick-haired freak, Gavin Newsom. She's a senior policy analyst with the Heritage Foundation. Jennifer, look, I hate to say this because it doesn't work on me, and it's certainly the slick hair only makes me jealous, but that doesn't work on people, right?
I'm sorry. I lost it with the sign languaging. So maybe sign language works. Some people, but Jesse, I don't know. I can't, this little thing, I'm like, is he doing the Trump dance? I literally am crying because I heard that clip, but I didn't see it in the flesh until just now. And I think what's his name? The guy on Greg Gutfeld, Tyrus, or he's like, he's sign languaging with a deaf prostitute. So I apologize. I need to gather my thoughts. I go ahead if you wanted to jump
ahead.
In.
Go ahead.
No, every now and then I get some gems on Facebook from my liberal friends. This is always like my lab, right? I look on Facebook to see, I do it daily just to see what some of my old cohort are saying. And I'm sad to say it does work on some people because there is a response from someone, and I'm just reading verbatim. Love this. If only the rest of the country gave Newsom a chance. I love him, smart and quick on his feet. But when I travel to the Midwest or South, damn, they hate him and hate us. They call us evil. And someone else said, he is effing incredible. The ability to call out the facts and stats and just state the truth. I mean, it's, they really believe he is the next coming of Jesus. Like, maybe it is the hair, I don't know. It's weird because they don't ever think about the policies. I'm like, are they not living in California? Are they not living under this? Do they not feel the pressure of the gas prices and the cost of living? Do they not care that their children are being indoctrinated? Do they not care that he flip-flops on every single issue? One day he's hanging the gay pride flag and the next day he's like, oh, I don't know, it's weird. He's doing, I don't know about the whole pronoun thing. We never used it. He's busting out. I don't understand. I think they're so buried in their ideological views that they can't actually see who he is and how he operates.
Jen, what do the normies think about him? I know what you and I think about him, and I know what your friends who snort lines of SSRIs think about him, but I'm talking about the normal human being. He just comes off to me as very used carsman-y, but again, rising to the position of governor of California is no small thing. He's selling himself to somebody.
Yeah, again, I think those outside of California see it. I don't think he has a shot at the presidential. I mean, maybe he'll take the nomination, but I don't see them as putting him as the front runner because I think most people do see beyond his salesman shtick, his hair, his sign language. And but what's sad is like he's even below, I believe I saw the poll, Kamala Harris. I think she is the who most Democrats want to see in the prime in 2028 run. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is great news for us. What I can't fathom is I've been listening to podcasts, I guess he's making the rounds now, Rahm Emanuel. I'm like, that's your guy. That's the guy who's intelligent, who can speak logically, who has, maybe we might not agree with the solutions, but he actually has some solutions, I think. And so they don't want that, though. They want socialism. They want Mondami. They want the crazy extreme. And I think it's working for the younger demographic of that party. And that's where the momentum is in that party, the AOCs, the Mondamis. It's going to be fun, I guess.
Look, I'd be lying if I said Kamala. I'm shocked that Kamala Harris is on top of Newsom. But the setting that aside, let's talk about the trans issue stuff. This is not popular. It's more than just, you know, men and women's sports. It's not popular. To normal people, it's weird. It's freaky. They don't understand it. It's a loser, always has been a loser for the Democrat Party. But are they so trapped in it they can't get out of it? Because they can read poll numbers, as dumb as they are. They know they're unpopular on this. Can they get out?
I mean, again, they should, but they won't. I don't know why they're... Sorry, I don't know how to turn off these notifications. They should, but they won't. And I don't know why. They're so... I think Rahm Emanuel said the loudest voice is not always the most important or something. But that's who... That's who they attract, are the loud voices. Instead, they're writing articles on how to be more authentic. I don't know if you saw the Washington Post article, is that, you know, the key to winning 2026 and 2028 is to use more cuss words and to fight like Trump and to be Trumpier, right? And more aggressive and more offensive. And I'm like, the only reason that works is because it's Trump and that's who he is. That's his authentic style. And the other thing is, Trump rarely curses, right? If ever, he let off that one F-bomb when he was talking about peace in the Middle East and says they don't know what the bleep they're doing, which everyone kind of was like, oh, yeah, that's true. But, you know, they don't get it. They don't understand how to talk to middle America because they've never been there. They don't understand, to your point earlier, that this is a losing issue for them. They can't get out of their these elitist bubbles that they've created for themselves. And, you know, why they stick to their guns on this, I don't know, because it's the loudest part of the party, but it's not going to win them any favors. And you know, the other thing I pointed out in a response to the Washington Post article is that they, if you need to write an article about how to be authentic, you're not authentic. And they can't do these long form podcasts. I think we saw Newsom kind of fumble with Sean Ryan. I mean, some people thought he was brilliant, but I think most people saw, like I did, it was humorous how he was responding. I don't know, he was all over the place. Because they don't have foundational principles. They go wherever the wind blows. And like you said, people see that. They go wherever they think they can get elected as opposed to standing on principles. So when they come against hard issues, they kind of have to flip-flop. They're trying to be everything to everybody as opposed to, these are our values, these are our founding principles, right? I mean, conservatives to a certain extent do that. They're, you know, they're all members of politics. They're all playing the political game. But it's like, we know hard work, discipline, freedom. There's kind of some very genuine foundational principles that they can always fall back on. It doesn't seem like the Dems have that. They fall back on identity politics, which changes every week. So they've got to change every week.
What about J.B. Pritzker of Illinois? He fascinates me. You know, governor of Illinois, he's super fat, which I think makes him more relatable, especially with America today. I think a fat guy from Illinois could be threatening.
I don't think so. I mean, I think he's listen, say what you will. Trump's no male supermodel, but there's a certain, he was a reality star, right? There's something attractive about him to some people, whether it's his personality or his sense of humor, even as kind of maybe inappropriate as it is. There's something that the American people related to. I don't think people, particularly with the MAHA movement, as powerful as it is right now, and as many sweeping reforms as we're talking about health, it was a cornerstone of this past election. I think it's going to continue to be important. They look at JB, I don't know, I look at that guy and I'm so turned off. I can't even look at him. So I don't think he's a viable option. But again, they never cease to amaze me, Jesse.
Tell me about the MAHA movement. How are we doing on all that?
I think we're doing great. I think we're making strides. We have to remember that these are incremental changes. You know, the left will come and say like, oh, Coke changing from corn syrup to cane sugar, really, that's a big win. And I'm like, well, it is kind of. Corn syrup's highly processed. We've got huge subsidies going to corn that make it an abundant kind of food product that fuels all this junk food. So I think we're making small wins. I'm really heartened by Marty McCary and the FDA's focus on particularly women's health. I think that's going to be a big issue. And if some of the liberal women can get out of their ideological bubbles, they would see that this is like huge. This has been a huge gap in health, is women's issues and women's studies and HRT, hormone replacement therapy, and not sweeping menopause under the rug or infertility. These are all big issues. I think we might face some trouble in the midterms. Are these potential liability shields for pesticides? Because that's really where people were strong against in the pharmaceutical realm. It's not an outright liability shield like we did with pharmaceutical companies, but it will make it very hard for people to bring cases against the companies that produce pesticides. So it kind of got snuck in a House appropriations bill. It hasn't been voted on completely yet, but then I think they're going to recess today for the summer. So we'll see. I think some MAHA people are very upset about that. But these are all the things we're going to have to navigate through. The actual, you know, the winning was kind of easy, the momentum, the excitement. Make America healthy again. It's such a great tagline. Everybody wants to be healthier. No one wants to be subject to food addiction and all these things, this kind of biomedical security state. But now the hard work comes in making the policy and really convincing the members of Congress that this needs to be a priority or they'll lose a vote.
I always loved recess. It made me think about recess in school. I had so much fun. It was my favorite time. Jennifer, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show. We try to bring you the truth and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah. America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood, and dogs are, they're something that gets featured regularly on this show for lighten the mood, because don't they make us all happy? It's not just yours. When you see a video of a dog doing something, loving on some sick kid, or saving somebody from a bear, puts a smile on your face. I am glad that dog didn't catch the bear. I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.